sure he talked about it right there. Because prior to that, about two scriptures, he said, to the weak I became weak, to the strong I became strong, to the Jew a Jew, a Gentile a Gentile. Folks, he tried to relate to everyone. To bring them into the fold, he tried to relate to everyone. And he tried to, by using that analogy. But then you turn over into Timothy, and to let you know, it never was. His race was never far from his mind and never far from his thoughts. In 1 Timothy, I believe it is 4 and 7, he writes to Timothy, I have ran my race, and my course is finished, and I have kept the faith. He crossed the finish line. And I just don't, by reading that, I don't get the impression that in the midst of his race, that he looked back. I don't think he did. And therefore, I'm convinced that I shouldn't look back, because there's not time to look back. There's only time to focus on my decisions that I have to make tomorrow, and my decisions that I have to make the next day, and the day after, and the day after. And it's one day at a time, one decision at a time. So pray for me that I'll make the right choice. Each and every choice I make, each and every day I make those decisions, pray for me. And I just want you to know that I do appreciate just good, practical wisdom. So, and often when you're talking to different ones, you never know the weight that your words carry. A little simple expression like that would make someone ponder for hours. Now, whether that says something about my mind, it might be very simple-minded, I don't know. Or Brother Michael is a very wise man. Maybe that's the case, maybe both. But I did want to stand up, and I did want to let my brother know how much I appreciate him, how much I love him. And again, if tomorrow at 2 o'clock, hopefully I'll cross your thoughts, and you'll say a little prayer for me. I appreciate being here. My wife wanted me to tell everybody hello. And again, Benjamin wanted to tell the young people hello. And little Joey, well, he's just not that little anymore. He's doing just fine, too. God bless you.
In the door, that's what me and Brother Painter were talking about. Not my conversation with you, but going forward. I guess that's a theme that I've had. It isn't 24, but it's going forward. Because I talk to a lot of people who keep looking back, and they want to rehash the past bitter things that happen in their life. And now it's easy for me, more than it is some people, because of my temperament. You know, a sanguine is all about what's going on right now and what we're gonna go do. And so we rarely look back. We're kind of there with the choleric temperament, Brother Smith, that we don't look back too much. But, you know, I'm married to a melancholy phlegmatic, and I'm always having to turn her head forward, push it forward. But I want to steal a little of something somebody else told me. As Brother Brett was telling me something the other night, and he don't know how much that I chewed on this ever since he left the house. The legendary Hall of Fame football coach John Madden told, when he became head coach of the Oakland Raiders, he said they had inundated with so many rules and regulations within the organization. When they hired me, I said, we're doing away with every rule we have except for three. Be on time, listen when I speak, and play hard. And that, and in that year, they won. They went from an organization in disarray to winning the Super Bowl. He got a single-minded focus. He turned them from looking at all the things behind, all the things that distracted them, into a solitary focus on the task that lies ahead, and that is become a champion. And I thought about that. I mean, I really, really thought about that. But but more than that, on my mind this week has been what Sister Krista did, because she said the Lord told her to tell us something. And the first thing that she said is to pay attention. And she said, what was the next thing she said? She said, I'm trying to get the order of it. He can do anything with anything. God can do anything with anything. If you have bitterness, he could give you peace. I've watched this a half a dozen times since the meeting, and every time I watch it, the Holy Ghost comes all over me. No matter what situation you've gotten yourself in, or if you were thrown into it, he can turn you it around. I can't understand, if God is trying to give you peace, why you would hold on to your bitterness. Let go. And let God have it. And don't look back. Here's what Christ came to do in the 61st chapter of Isaiah. He said he would give you beauty for ashes. He would say he would give you the oil of joy for your mourning. He would give you a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. The plan of the Lord, that he might be glorified. And they shall build the old waste, and they shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities and the desolation of many generations. And strangers shall stand and feed your flocks. But I want to go back. He said he would give you beauty for your ashes. Are you holding on to your ashes while God is trying to give you beauty? Is he trying to anoint you with an oil of joy, and you're still trying to mourn? Are you still holding heavy while he's trying to give you a garment of praise? It's time to move forward. If you're holding on to something in your life, I believe that's what the Lord was trying to tell us to pay attention to. He wants to move us on, forward, not looking back. In talking to Brother Dan on my back porch, I barely remember telling him that until he brought it up, but we were talking about the move here. And at that time, the Lord made a way for me to sell my roofing company. Impossible at any other time. Couldn't have happened. Now, the reason it meant something for me to tell him that at that time, when I come down here, I was rolling on a pretty good high. But when I told him that, I was in a low, low, low. I was the reverse of when I came down here. But I told God, I said, I'm not going to question. I know. Only time I look back is just a no at that time you were in it. So I have to keep looking forward, because I know there's something. I told my wife, there's something ahead. I've got a praise report. You remember I told you the $100, I didn't know where it come from, but I felt like God spoke to me and said, this is just a little token. Yeah, right before the right after the youth meeting, I got a call from a guy. He said, "Remember that big job you gave us a bid on back in the early last fall?" I said, "Yes, sir, I do." He said, "We're ready to do it." I said, "Thank God." Hallelujah. But you couldn't have timed it any better. September the 1st, a lot of things needed to be taken care of on September the 1st. And they're going to be taken care of. I can see the Lord's hand. He's my Father. He's my Lord, my Savior, and he wants to only do good things. Just like Brother Beckwith told his son, "You're always on my mind." But Brother Beckwith can't always be working on his behalf. It's impossible. He can't do it. He can do it when he has time. Some things he can work on his behalf. But God, our Heavenly Father, is always working on our behalf. And I want to make it easy on him. Because he said, you know, know what he said here? "Because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek." I mean, to the meek. Those meek means right there, not resisting God. Am I correct on that, Brother Smith? If you won't resist him, he come to give it to you. He come to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison of them that are bound. He wants to release us from everything that holds us bound in captivity, to the bitterness, to the hurt, to the pain. The mess we get thrown into, the mess we've created for ourselves, he's come to release us from all that. And he said, "Okay, from here on, look to me and me only, and I will lead you out." Hallelujah. I feel strong in about that. Especially when you get in a place where people have been gathered together for many, 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 many years, sometimes you can forget where the Lord originally brought you from. And you start looking to little things that happen along the way that stumble you. Don't look at that. Look at what God's got available for you. He's got something great available to those who trust him, to those that are meek, won't resist God. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm just, y'all, want y'all to pray for me, and don't wait till 2:00. I'm sleeping wrong or something, and every once in a while I'll wake up and my beast are bound up in my neck and shoulders that I'm in constant pain. And I want the Lord to touch me, but then I'll wake, I'll be fine like the other days. So, but anyway, I desire your prayers. Keep looking forward. Put your blinders on. Horse, where's those blinders? We in Missouri, and I don't know, they may have some down here, but I'm used to them in Missouri. They've got the Amish. We lived close to an Amish community, and they clip, clop, clip, clop, clip, clop down the road, but their horse has the blinders on. He can't see the dog running up that's barking. He can't see children. He can't see the cars that's coming in, fixing to come in right beside him. He's got this one thing focused right down the center of where he's heading. So, Lord, put blinders on me. I don't want to see any distractions. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm happy to be here tonight.
enjoyed this. These good words. And I wonder how many of the youth that are here are considering going to Dallas the 22nd. Brother Nathan, Brother Anthony. Oh, the Sister Angie and the girls are here. Got back. We're glad you made it back. Sister Rachel, Zach, Joel. ¿Tú quieres ir para Dallas, Texas con jóvenes? Jóvenes? Let's go, he said. he probably thinks that's right down the road. You know, those Dominicans, they think if they go to America, you know. Somebody came to Miami from over there and called me in Springfield. Said, where are you at? I said, I'm in Missouri. They said, well, I want to come over there. Can I take a boat? I said, you can't take a boat from Miami to Missouri. You know, they're used to that Caribbean island out there. Everywhere you go, you get on a boat. And they said, well, can I take a bus? I said, yeah, you can take a bus if you got a couple of days to ride it. 2 days? I said, yeah, it's about twice as far from Miami to Missouri as it is from Miami to the Dominican Republic. They can't fathom that. You know, it's just an island 150 miles wide and about 75 miles wide and 150 miles long. So it's hard for them to fathom it being very far. They get to the United States, they think, you know, it don't matter if you're in California, I'm in Miami, I'll come over there and see you in just a little while. Anyway, all right, Brother Matthew, try to go, okay. We'll plan a group then, but we probably need to know by maybe next weekend. Sister Brittany and Zachary, her little brother that's here visiting his daddy in Oklahoma, she said, count us. We're going with y'all. So we'll get a group together, just keep thinking about it, and see how what the Lord does. By the way, I'm going to the Dominican Republic. I'm going to Dominican Republic later this month, but I'm just going for a little short turnaround trip, but I'm going back in October. And I think Brother and Sister Stewart are planning on going with us, and maybe Brother McGowan. So we've still got room in the boat if some of y'all wants to go. So you can be thinking about that. I'm planning on next year having a youth band clinic in the Dominican Republic, and inviting youth from all over the body that could go. And I want every young person that goes from the time we plan the trip to the time we go, to find a used instrument to take with them to give to a Dominican young person in the body of Christ that wants to be in the band. They don't have a band over there other than, you know, they've got guitars, bass guitars and guitars and drums, and there's one guy that's got a trombone. He don't know what he's doing, but he toots it. You know, he blows it. Sometimes the spirit gets to going, he'll make a sound of that thing. Look at Joel laughing. He knows that, he understands some of what I'm saying. And they get to play, and he's hunting on that thing. Where y'all at? I want to play. I want to do something. Well, we need to get him some music. Somebody teach him a little bit something about. But I'd like to have a band clinic during the day and for about 3 days. And every night have a service and let the band play. Our, you know, Body of Christ members play for them and let them see. And a picture is worth more than 1,000 words. And there's so many of them over there that has never seen this in operation over here. They just have what they've got over there. And the few that have, like Brother Joel, you know, he wants a youth meeting in the Dominican Republic. He said, we can't get visas, everybody, come over here. But it's easy for y'all to come over there. You don't have to have a visa, just a passport. So, who knows, Brother Crow, you and Sister Crow, y'all ought to become international travelers before this is over with. There's no telling what God you... You can't ride a tractor to Dominican Republic, but we can get you on a boat. Anyway, so I guarantee you they're liable to go. They're goers. And it comes to has to do with God's people. You know, I was thinking while the brother was talking, also put it on our calendar, Brother Painter. For September the 19th for a gospel singing, Saturday, September the 19th. And if that, you know, we've got time to adjust that date. If it interferes with anything, I don't know of anything that it'll interfere with, but there's not everybody here either. Also, let me say something. I thought maybe I might say something Wednesday night, but let me say something about potluck dinners that we're having. I think everybody pretty well likes them. And I mentioned we wouldn't have one next week. I thought I'd talk about it, but maybe we'll go ahead and have potluck dinner. I like it. I think a lot of people do. But I just need to ask you to help us out a little bit on the potluck dinners. There's, you know, we've got our main workers that work. Now, everybody can't work potluck dinner. Everybody, and then there's some that don't, you know, aren't able to, are there some of our elderly people, I don't think they even have to bring anything. I think we ought to be able to, I think our elderly people are to, they've paid their dues. I just say let's put them in a wheelbarrow and push them the rest of the way. And so... We're not going to dump you. We're just going to help you out. And you know, and I think it's a wonderful thing for us to have the fellowship and things we're having for potluck dinners. And a lot of us live so far. That's why we have a 5 o'clock service. It's hard to go home and get back. But I'm just asking you to help us out to have these potluck dinners to our you know, the church is providing some things, and our meal, especially our dinner days, our food cost is way above what it's been, what it ought to be probably. And so that basket down there, you know, put something in it every once in a while and help us out. And then if you're coming on our potluck dinners and you've got a family of 4 or 5, don't bring a bowl of beans that big around. You know, we'll, you know, it won't feed your family and everybody's dipping into it anyway. So the ideal of it is bring enough to feed your family and some of the folks that can't bring something, and our visitors that come, let's bless them, and then stay over and help in the kitchen and help wipe the tables down and sweep the dining room floor back down there. If we'll all pull together and work, well, it'll work. And so I just want to encourage you. Then I've noticed it's been brought to my attention. We've got a couple really bad places on our carpet where some candy has been just ground into it. We don't know how we're ever going to get it up. It probably happened during the youth meeting. But let's take care as much as we can, you know, here at home. Let's be careful about, we've got a couple spots in this nice new carpet. And I'd hate to tell you what it cost to carpet this place. all the stairwells and behind the everything, you know, multi-thousands of dollars that it cost. And so we want to take good care of it. So now for the good news. I'm looking for a ice cream machine, a soft serve ice cream machine. What do you think about that? Yeah, we're gonna get one. Pray with us that we can find a good used one. You know, these places. You know, I'm thinking about going in business against Shakey's, and I'm wanting to get you. You know, I want to get you over there and get you hooked on it, and then I want to get us a machine here, and just cut their price a little and keep you right here. And no, but anyway, I'd like to see us. I drove all the way to Jacksonville. Brother Dial told me, said, Brother Smith, if you'll come to Jacksonville and preach for me for a weekend, I'll give you an ice cream machine. He bought a bunch of them on an auction deal. I drove all the way down there, preached all weekend for him, loaded up in my truck, drove it all the way back to Missouri, unloaded it, went through it, ordered all new seals and everything, got it all up ready to go, and found out it was for three phase only. You got to have three phase electric, which we never even heard of that in Republic, Missouri. We've got three phase electric here. But so I found out that there was a three phase converter, and I was going to buy it. So I called this guy. I said, look, this is the machine we've got. I want to know how to get a converter. He said, well, give me the model number and everything. I started trying. He said, man, you ain't got an ice cream machine. I said, I don't. He said, no, that's a milkshake machine. So we're going to get an ice cream machine, but we've already got a milkshake machine. We just need to bring it down here and plug it in. I called Brother Don, and I said, you know what you done to me? I said, you sent me on a goose chase, wild goose chase, for a milkshake machine, calling it an ice cream machine. He said, well, if I'd have known that, I wouldn't have gave it to you, because I love milkshakes. So you can't win in some situations. Jesus, you know, these guys talking about not turning back, I thought of a scripture that they reminded me of this, of Jesus saying this, and I'm not going to preach, so I don't think. And it reminded me of Luke, the 9th chapter, when it's in the 57th verse. It said, it came to pass that as they went into the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I'll follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Well, I'm sure a lot of people think that means that Jesus meant, I don't even have a house. I don't have a home. I don't have a bed to lay down. But it was deeper than that, what Jesus was talking about, because this man was talking to him about following him whithersoever he goest. And Jesus was meaning, I'm not the head of nothing. Foxes have holes. Herod's called a fox in the Bible. Civil leaders had made their place in the civil world. And then he said, birds have nests. The kingdom of heaven, you know, it's like a mustard seed. He planted in the ground, it grows up into a great tree, and the birds lodge into it, which is just means the fowls of the air. There's a lot of things that are attached themselves to religion. But Jesus said, the Son of Man hath not a place to lay his head. I'm not the head of anything. You want to follow me? And he said to another, he told one, said, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury it. That sounds like Brother Tucker. You know, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I'll follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto them, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. I thought, you know, when you read this, you think, man, Jesus was tough. I mean, he didn't even want you to go to your daddy's funeral, or, you know, to go tell your mom and daddy or your wife. Peter, you know, Peter was one that was married and had kids. Well, Jesus, I'm sure that Jesus, he was compassionate. He had a lot of pity. He was merciful. He was long-suffering. But I'm sure he discerned something in these men that they just thought they wanted to follow him. They just, you know, they didn't count the cost. They didn't know what the calling was. And he wasn't really, I don't believe Jesus would prevent a man from going to his father's funeral. But I think he was letting him know that I know that you're making excuses. You're not really wanting to follow. You don't really want to go and make the commitment that it takes. And then he adds to that, if any man puts his hand to the plow and looks back, that there's a calling that God puts on our lives that requires commitment, total commitment. That's what Jesus was trying to hit. The point he was trying to get across to them, that God has got to touch your life in such a way that you are totally committed. It's kind of like the farmer, you know, had guessed, and he sent his wife out, said, let's have ham and eggs. And the chicken and the hog heard that. And the chicken said, oh, I'm going to have to get busy and put out some eggs. And the hog said, it's just an offering for you, but for me, it's a total sacrifice. And so, God, he requires, I mean, that's what the Lord's looking for, is he's this beauty for ashes that he's wanting to give us. Let's tap into a little bit of what was said, that you are going to have to burn up. God, when God gets through putting you through the fire, there's nothing going to be left but what he brings out of the fire. And it'll be beautiful, but your will, your desires, your aspirations, your high thoughts about life and your plans for life are all vanity unless you first. He first. Somehow we got to get to a place where Jesus is first in our life. He is my everything. He is my all. He's the one that I'm leaning on, I'm depending on, and he's on the front burner of my life. I plan to serve him, live for him, and put him before everything else in my life. That's the commitment that Jesus is asking for. And I know that it takes him touching our lives too. Let me tell you right now, what Jesus knew about those men couldn't make a commitment, I'll follow you whithersoever. You can't. You cannot make that kind of commitment if God don't touch you to make it. Now, the best thing I can tell you to do is pray and say, God, deal with me, touch me, and help me to get in your will. Help me to get where you want me to be. Sister, who was it? Sister Norman, she asked me, you know, she said, I don't know, Brother Smith, I'm confused. I don't know if God wants me to be in Sykeston or in Little Rock. I told her, I shook her up. I said, God don't care. She said, what? I said, he don't care. He just wants you to get 100% dedicated. And then he'll put you where you need to be. I said, he'll fix all of that. You need to quit worrying about that and just get yourself turned over to him completely.
I said, he just wants you to love him and put him first in everything and get so excited about serving him. That's what he wants. And I said, then things will become more clear to you. I said, you know, when you're sitting around wandering and wrangling, and I said, sometimes I know. Let me tell you, I know sometimes it's hard to understand God. Somebody in Republic asked me, said, if God wanted Brother Durham in Little Rock, why don't, you know, y'all may think everybody up there is just ready, you know, packed up, ready to go. But this is not an easy thing for people. And somebody said, if God wants Brother Durham to move to Little Rock, why ain't he helped him sell his house? Why hadn't the Lord helped him? I said, I can't answer that. I said, but I can tell you this. God absolutely wants him to move to Little Rock. I'm certain of that. I'm certain of that. But I said, I don't know why he won't help him sell his house. I said, you answer me a question. I said, why did God tell the children of Israel he wanted them to go to the promised land, and he took them around a circle for 40 years and put them through tough times to get there? I said, I can give you the answer to that. He told them why in Deuteronomy 8. He said, I did it to prove you and to know you and to know whether or not you would obey me, and to put things in your life that needed to be in your life for you to be able to do what I want you to do in the promised land. So I said, I can assure you this, if God don't make it easy on Brother Durham and he has to sacrifice to get to Little Rock, I said, God will make up the difference for him, and everything he goes through, it'll be for his own good. Yeah. So I've learned some things about God. Every time I get, you know, something, we get to going through something, I just look at Sister Smith and I say, Mama, this is going to get good before it's over. Don't you forget that. I love God, how he does things. You know, we're building this kennel to move these dogs down here. We've built almost 2,400 square foot of building space and paid for every dime of it as we go. We hadn't borrowed a dime to do it. I mean, you know, we borrowed money off of ourselves, but we had robbed ourselves blind out of everything we could come up with. I mean, we didn't borrow any money from the bank. We don't owe the bank any money. But it took everything we had, you know. And in the last month, we're right down in the end of this, and I run out of money. Yeah, I've just run out. I just thought, I don't know where else to go. But I told the Lord, I'm trusting you. And, you know, dog sales, puppy sales are down. The economy's down. How many of y'all got $1,000 to pay for a puppy? I got some for sale. If you do, I got some higher than that. But did y'all know that in the last 2 weeks, we've sold $10,000 worth of puppies? $10,000 worth of puppies. I mean, they're going. I mean, the phone's ringing and people's calling, and God knows we needed it, you know. But that's a praise report. It's to show you what God can do when you hold out to God. You hold out for him. And, you know, there won't be anything left out of that. It's going to take every bit of it. But it's going to pull us out of the hole. That's the thing. I don't have to see. I don't have to worry about having extra, because God, he can just, you know, you just get to going, and you get to going, and the hill gets hard to climb. You finally get to where you're just barely going. Finally, you just have to stop and rest a while. Then you get up and try it a little while longer. Before long, somebody comes along, says, would you like a ride? Then you wind up in a little while, you're on the top of the hill, going down the other side. Whoo, hallelujah. That's when it's good, Brother Tally. We may be climbing a hill right now, but there's another side to the hill. That's the thing about God. And look, the hill climb is for a purpose. God has a purpose. That's why he said, don't look back. What do you got to look back to? The flesh, the works of the flesh, the ways of this world, what man's wisdom has been able to bring us to? Can't you see that's failing? It's failing. This world's failing. I'm thankful we're living in a great nation, the greatest nation to live in, but it's going down. But we're in another kingdom that's going up. Hallelujah. You're in the right place, saints. Hallelujah. Bless his wonderful name. I'm thankful to be a part of it. And let's keep holding on to his sweet love. Amen. Appreciate Brother Hammond coming and being with us. And I'm excited for Brother Beckwith too. His words bless me, and I'm thankful that he, you know, is here tonight. And then I want to pray for him tomorrow. I've already asked the Lord, jog my mind at 2:00 tomorrow. Pray for Brother Beckwith. Help me to remember that. So there's so many things God's working on right now in this church. This is a moving church. It's going. There's things happening all the time. All that's going on with the Republic people, and then it's been exciting for me. By the way, let me just tell you something. If you're you need to learn. If you're not having learned this, learn how to enjoy the journey. That's what I'm telling you. God's working something in this, in the process. What was that song Brother Michael was singing? Brother Weiniger reminded me how Brother Leniger put that in him. Brother Leniger put that in Brother Weiniger so strong that every time he hears a song that says something about God setting you free, he can't handle it. Because Brother Leniger hammered that. It's to make you free. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free, not set you free. He'd say there's a difference. I reminded Brother Weiniger, I said, well, just remember, he does set you free from some things. There is a set. God does deliver some people. I mean, he can deliver you instantaneously. He can take the men in the tombs and just deliver them from their sick mental sickness, and just brought the peace on their lives, and their minds were put back. He set them free of that. But they still weren't made free. Jesus said, to whom the Lord has made free indeed. God, there's a process of God make. When you come to this altar and repent of your sins, he'll set you free of all your past sins. But the spirit that's in you and the future sins, you're not delivered of yet. It's going to take the Word of God. It's going to take a process of the Holy Ghost. It's going to take coming to church, getting more of this, getting understanding on it. It's going to take the power of God working in your life to make you free. Jesus cried, the Bible said, to him that was able to save him. Put that up for us, Brother Painter, right quick. In Hebrews 5, what verse would that be? where he said, though he were a son, we quoted that this morning, but he said, let me see if I can. Is it the 8th verse? Is that the one I'm wanting on? What does it say? Yeah, and I'm wanting, but right before that he cried to him that was able. Yeah, 7, there it is. Who in the days of his flesh, Jesus came in the flesh. He was not a God-man here on the earth. He came here and took on the the likeness of sinful flesh. Though he didn't commit sin in the flesh, he was still tempted. And he had to go through a process of salvation. Jesus didn't have a free ride. He came here and he had to go through a process. He's our example. And in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death. Jesus had to pray to God and cry and make supplication. God, save me. Death was after Jesus. He was subject to death. Sin and death could have worked in his members if he had yielded over to the temptation of it. He cried. He prayed out, called out to God with supplications and tears. And it says, and though he were a son, that next verse, says, he was heard in that he feared. You see, he feared God. And God heard his prayer. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things he suffered and being made perfect. He wasn't just given perfection. He had to go through a process of being made perfect. And so, and he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that obey him. There's something in that. See, y'all know that for a big part the religious world has got into making time for Jesus when they can. You know, when I've got time to go to church, I'll go to church. Whenever I can make time for it, whenever I can fit it into my schedule. Yeah. Whether Hammond said like they're doing him a favor. But he wants us to get a hold of this in such a way that it's not only us get a hold of it, that it gets a hold of us. That we quit running from it. We quit having our minds set. I realize, you know, it's hard. It's hard to give up. Hey, I'm choleric. You know, cholerics are analytical. They analyze everything. They try to figure everything out. You can't do that when you serve God. You just have to kick choleric out the door. You know, I mean, some. You have to learn how to get rid of that part of it. You can't say, Jesus, I'm going to figure you out. You can't figure him out. Not until you've got, like Brother Hammond said, you got to get to know him. You got to serve him long enough to understand him, to know his ways. And so, but let me tell you the goodness of him. He'll take your life, just like Sister Krista said. He can make anything out of anything. So he can take your life. You can say, God, you know, that's where generally people have to get. They generally have to get in such a condition that they say, God, my life is not worth nothing, so I'll trade it to you for whatever you got. That's a condition most people have to get into. But wouldn't it be good if we could say, God, you know, I'm not down low as, you know, so low. But I see that it'd be worth my while to trade what I've got for what you've got. Put me through the process. Make me perfect. Make me what you want me to be. Hallelujah. Oh, I'll tell you, he won't disappoint you. He's merciful. He's easy to be entreated. He's pleasant. Jesus don't beat people up. He's not a brawler. He didn't come to, you know, in one place, his disciples asked him, said, do you want us to call fire down from heaven just like Elijah did and burn these guys up? Jesus said, wait a minute. He said, I didn't come here to destroy the world. I came here to save it. Look, Jesus is a savior. And you may be like Brother Michael. God may, it was a miracle. I can tell you right now, God gave him a miracle. I was in the roofing business for nearly 20 years. And when I got ready to get out of the roofing business, I just shut the door because there ain't no way he could sell it. What are you going to sell? You know, I'm hanging shingles on houses. You know, who wants to get in that business? Who wants to, you know, I mean, I've got some shovels that tears shingles off the roof. I've got a phone with an ad in the paper that you can take over the payments for that Yellow Page ad that's worth way a lot more money than what we ought to be paying for it. It costs a lot more than you ought to be paying for it. I mean, you can't sell a roofing business. I mean, it's almost unheard of. Unless you've been in business for 50 years or something, you've got an office downtown, everybody knows. Like in Springfield, Cox Roofing is just like Taco Bell. Everybody knows about Cox Roofing. But Mike's Roofing? Now, I will say Michael did build a good business, and he did even advertise on TV, and people found out and knew about him. He had a pretty good business, but it's hard to sell a roofing business. And he would have never sold it except God sent a hailstorm to Springfield, Missouri, and here come these guys, these what they call stormers, and they come in and said, hey, what we'd like to do is use your name and your phone number so people think that we're local. But we're leeches. And we come in here, you know, to get to all this business. And when it's over, we're going to wherever another storm is, and we're going to get in with that guy. Well, but Brother Michael did find out they were legitimate. They were men that had crews that did the right kind of job, and they were very efficient at what they did. And so he didn't let them, you know, come in and just take his name, but he let them come in and go to work with him on a percentage basis. And they saw he had a good enough name and that there was enough work there that they could take his name and go into business. And they had professional crews that could take a normal $4,000 roofing job and turn it into an $8,000 roofing job because they knew how to do it. They knew how to work the insurance companies for everything that they legally could get out of them. There's very few people that knows how to do that. Yeah, then they sold a multi-million dollar job for him that they's going to have to pay him a percentage of. And they got greedy and said, you know what we'd like to do is buy you out. And right at that time, we was moving to Little Rock. And he called me and said, God, I think, he said, Dad, I think God's doing something. He told me the deal. I said, ring the bell before they go away. You know, well, it was a little different than that. We worked it a little bit, but God was in it. And God, I'm telling you, God helped him. And got him down here, but after he got him down here, then it looked like, you know, the Lord just going to keep him on, you know, going downhill. But he got to the bottom, and there was another hill there. And he said, I don't understand this. I said, I don't either, but just enjoy the ride. Let's learn how to enjoy the journey. Just enjoy it. Learn how God works. And just, I don't care what it looks like. Just know this. If you're serving God and doing all you can do, you're in a safe place. And God will not fail you. He'll see you through. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what people say. I don't care how dim it gets to looking. God will break through all of that if you'll just hold on to Him and keep saying, God, I'm trusting you and I'm not looking back. I ain't leaving. I ain't leaving you, God. It's you too good. I found out too much about you. You know that old song, I've come too far to turn back now. Yeah, I know too much about Him. It's too good. You know, when you get in this, I remember when I first got in this. When I first came to the body of Christ, this this revelation God's gave this people. When I first came to this, I found out right away it was different than where I had been. I found out God started. You know, I'd been out there in Pentecost, but when I got in here and I got a revelation, I began to realize that the truths that had been revealed and God opened that up to me, I began to see it works different. God, things started happening different in my life. And the Lord was working with me in a different way. I could tell God took a hold of my life in a different way. And I didn't know, you know, I didn't know. I learned pretty quick not to say, you know, some things. Not, you know, like, I don't care what God wants me to do. I'll do it. I said that a few times, and after a while I said, I don't care. I'll tell you, whatever God wants me to do, I hope he'll give me the power and strength to do it. Y'all taught me to do it, say it that way. But I want to tell you something. God will take you through a place in this where you'll finally say, I don't care what God takes me through. I'm going to do it by his grace, by his power. Because you finally get to a place where you realize, hey, he's not a mean God. I'm not asking him for a fish and he's giving me a rock. You know, he understands you and me. But he does want you to understand, hey, we're not playing games in here. This is for real. This is the real deal. This is the real thing. Hallelujah. All right. Bless his name. Let's give him a praise before we go home. You want to stand on your feet? Let's thank him for his goodness. Thank God for these good preachers and good words they've given us, good songs here tonight. Oh, precious Savior. God, we love you. We give you praise. We glorify your name. Hallelujah. You're a great, great, gracious God. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, we're trusting you and believing you to touch the people in this assembly, Lord, to help us, oh God, to equip us. Hallelujah. We know that you're working for our good every minute, every second. Hallelujah. Oh, God. Help us, touch us to where we can, and equip us with the ability, oh God, to serve you with the fullness of might. In Jesus' wonderful name, Father, we pray. Amen.